Just like to read a passage very briefly in Acts chapter 9. We won't read the whole passage because we know it. Acts chapter 9. And let's read from verse 15 in connection with Saul's salvation. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Well, our brethren have reminded us of the joy of the Lord and how heaven is, you know, is going to be filled. It's going to be a place of joy, and it's going to be Christ's joy. You and I often think in our terms, and we're going to be happy, yes, we'll have joy. But the Epistle to the Ephesians is written to us in such a way to present to us the fact, the facts as to what God has done for his own pleasure, according to his own will, for his own pleasure. And so we oftentimes don't think of it in that term. In those terms, we think of how, you know, the Lord has done all kinds of things for us. He's blessed us richly, given us these blessings, that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. But really, why did he do that? Why did he choose you? You might say, well, Brother Krupa said it was because of the sovereignty of God, and this is true. He chose us because he was made a sovereign choice. None of us would have come, but he chose us individually. But he did it for his own pleasure. He forgave us our sins. Why did he do it? He did it for his own pleasure. We needed it, but he did it for his own pleasure. He's going to rejoice over each one that is in that scene above. He'll have his heart's satisfaction. It says in Isaiah 53, he shall see of the fruit of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Well, I just wanted to read this little passage because there are four things that are really practically visible, perhaps you might say, in connection with Christianity, in which we can please the Lord and we can give him joy now. And I'll just mention what they are. One of them is that it's the ordinance of baptism. It speaks of it here in verse 18. We can be baptized. And then we have the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We remember the Lord Jesus in his death this morning. And then we have the Word of God physically. And we can be found reading the Word of God ourselves in the scriptures, and we also have the sister in display before this world with her head covered as she is in the presence of the Lord, exercising her priesthood, you might say, or where the priesthood is being exercised, covering her head, covering the natural glory of the natural man, and allowing the glory of Christ to shine forth. And all four of those things give joy to the heart of God. Why are we baptized? I'm not going to take these things up in detail, but I just wanted to point out the fact is this. We have a very limited time in this world to give joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus. We can please him with our lives, and the brother last night at the hymn sing brought out some aspects of failure and how we perhaps fail to give joy to the Lord in certain circumstances that we put ourselves into. But you and I are born into this world, we're associated with a fallen creation. And we're born into this world, Brother C.H. Brown used to say, we're born into this world with our backs towards God. And what baptism does is associate us with Christ. And let's just read it in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, should say unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, there are various passages of Scripture that are given to us in the New Testament. You'll notice that it's Paul's doctrine. And Paul tells us how we can please the Lord in this way. And you might say, well, I'm not baptized. Well, you know, it's a normal thing, if I could put it that way, for a Christian to be baptized. And suppose you aren't baptized, you'd like to be baptized. Well, how do I do this? Well, you know, if you're a little bit older, you could just ask the older brethren, one of your older brethren. You could ask your father if he's in fellowship. Ask one of your older brethren and say, listen, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior. And I want to be identified with him. And so you know what it does is baptism, it says in Galatians chapter 3, it puts the name of Christ upon us. We go down under the water, and it says in Matthew chapter 28 that we ought to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And now, before I was baptized, I was associated with the heathen world, with all that went on that was opposed to Christ. But when I was baptized, I was put under the water and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and brought out on the other side, and the name of Christ was placed upon me, as it were, and I was identified with Christ publicly. Now that's really how we are brought into the kingdom practically. But you might say, well, I'm a little afraid of being baptized. I'm a little bit older, and I don't like this idea of a big ceremony and so on and so forth. Let's read in Acts chapter 8. It says here in Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 38. Verse 37 really isn't in the text. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, both of them, into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Well, I think that's so nice. Here is a man, he was an Ethiopian, he was a part of the heathen world, and he didn't want to be associated with that heathen world anymore. And he went under the water and came up on the other side. You know, it says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. But I believe there's rejoicing in heaven. There's joy in heaven when this ordinance of baptism is gone through in connection with one that has faith. And there's association now with the Lord Jesus. But you'll notice in Acts chapter 8 that it was just Philip and the eunuch. And you'll notice, too, in other passages of Scripture, like the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, or Silas, the Philippian jailer in his house. It was midnight, and there wasn't a big ceremony or anything. It's not a ceremony. It's not a big public event, and it can be done in a quiet way, but it should be done. It's normal for someone who is a believer to be baptized. Now we have the remembrance of the Lord, and we'll just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is, it should say, given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come, or announce it till he come. Well, this is another thing that's physically that we can go through and that we can do in a public way. It says that when we do this on the Lord's Day morning, we're announcing to this world that Christ died. And they don't want to remember this. What took place at Calvary. They want to forget about it. Don't want to think of it as a significant event in this world's history. But what a joy it must give to the heart of the Lord Jesus to have his own, set everything aside, and to come with honor, with respect, with reverence into his holy presence, to sing hymns to him, to read verses and passages of Scripture that tell of the great price that was paid at the cross of Calvary, the love behind that work, to have us in his presence in a sober, orderly way, to sing and to give him that reverence and that respect that this world does not treat him with. Men in this world will rise and give honor to a judge in a courtroom. Men will give all kinds of honor to dignities in this world, but they still use the name of the Lord Jesus as a swear word. But you and I can give joy to the Lord Jesus as we come into the presence of the Lord and give him that honor, that reverence that is due to him. That glory. And so you say, well, I don't remember the Lord in his death. I've never remembered the Lord in his death. Well, how do I do this? I just want to encourage you, if you haven't ever done it, just to go to one of your older brethren, perhaps. If you're your father, you could. If you really don't have the courage to go see an older brother, and just say, listen, I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior. I would love to remember the Lord Jesus in his death. I want to give him this pleasure in this world that crucified him. I want to give him this pleasure while I'm here. And I want to say something. You know, I came up here in Hamer Bay 42 years ago or so, and a couple of weeks later, the brethren asked me to take the gospel. And I said, oh boy, I was a young brother, and I said, you know, that's a... You're asking a lot here. And brother put his hand on me, on my shoulder. He would be my father-in-law later on. He said, listen, I want to tell you something. The brethren are on your side. And he said, you just go and preach the gospel of the grace of God. They're on your side. And they'll be praying with you, that they'll be blessing. Just read the word of God and speak. And so, you know, the brethren are on your side. Those, if you want to remember the Lord Jesus in his death, oh, don't be afraid to do it. Now we have the word of God given to us. We've more or less run out of time here, but You know, it's necessary for us to read the Word, and I'm not a very good example at all, but let's just look at Acts chapter 8 again. This man was physically reading the Word of God. Acts chapter 7. Or chapter 8, I'm sorry. Went back one chapter too many. Verse 30. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Well, you know, this man was reading the Word of God. And perhaps the first book that he'd ever acquired that was of the Word of God was the prophet Isaiah. And there was fruit for the Lord. We could read other passages, but if you read the Word of God, I want to tell you this. It'll give you joy to the heart of God Himself as He communicates by His Spirit to you. And His longing is to bring you into blessing and to have you understand the magnitude of the work of Christ and the magnitude of the blessing that He has bestowed, made available to you. And He has desired to write those things that He's written in Ephesians and in Colossians, those things primarily that He has done for His own pleasure. But, you know, He has written in the book of Romans, and He has told us what He has done for our blessing. The fundamental principles of Christianity, He's written a whole book, Romans, to tell us what He has done for our blessing. And for His glory as well. So that's one of the things that we can do to give joy to the heart of God. It'll give joy to us, but I want to say this. It'll change your life if you read the Word of God. I know more than one person brought up in heathen circumstances, sometimes religious circumstances. But I can tell you, I've seen people that have taken the Bible and read it from cover to cover. In a matter of weeks, it changed their life forever. Changed the way they think, changed the way that they dress, changed the way that they speak. It changed them for the good. Then the last thing is head coverings. And I just, maybe we could just read the passage very briefly, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, let's read chapter 11 in it says there that verse 4, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all as if she were shaven. For if a woman be not covered, let her be shorn, also be shorn. For it is, if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For indeed, a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." You know, dear sisters, you have a privilege that I don't have, and that is that we don't have time to read another passage, but you represent the church in submission to Christ. You can read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. And you, as your brother, I have my wife beside me. Her head is covered. The angels are looking, and they see a picture of Christ and the church in submission. And the Lord is going to have a church in glory. She'll be in perfect submission for all eternity. She'll never raise his ire at all. she'll always submit to him and always reflect his glory. And so those four things are things that we can give pleasure to the Lord, even in this scene. We can be baptized. If we're not baptized, we can remember the Lord Jesus in his death while we're waiting for him to come. And we can read his word, have a sense of his presence while we read it, and we can have that public testimony of being in submission to the will and word of God and present that picture of Christ in the church.